One County Board of Supervisors, April 23rd, 2019. Good morning.
Morning.
I gotta get things sorted out here. If I'm away from anything, I've gotta be retrained. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none, sir.
Yes, there is one removal. On item 5B, the first set of revised payroll claims, take that first one out.
Oh, okay.
The 315.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. I don't have anything new to report at this time.
Lisa, I apologize. I forgot. No, it's not.
I thought you forgot who I was. Where are you?
You just changed her on me about 2 weeks ago or three.
Hazel.
Hazel, I apologize. Lisa Hazel. Des Moines County Recorder.
Everything's going well. Just keeping real busy with the boat renewals this year, so. Next Tuesday is the last day to renew without a $5 penalty afterwards.
Thank you.
Getting any more ATV license holds?
Yep.
What are we up to now on that?
I don't. I haven't looked. I will let you know.
Rodney Buister, maintenance.
Good morning. Just quick update on the jail control panel. They've had the computer up and going for, I think, a couple of weeks to give some employees a little bit of time kind of looking at the screen and opening doors through the screen. They got pretty much, I think, most of the doors and everything figured out on that. I think they're going to be back Wednesday and Thursday to put the intercom, work on the intercom system part of it. Other than that, it seems to be going pretty decent for now, so. That's about all I have to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Update, the contractor's still working. They should finish up asphalt on Mediapolis Road today. And then they'll switch over and go do asphalt in Sperry. They have a little bit left in that. And then that same crew will bounce back and do shouldering on one or the other. I don't know where they'll stay, but they'll have rock shoulders to put on a lot of Mediapolis Road and then a little bit of Sperry Road.
Would that reduce Mediapolis Road to one lane?
It has been one lane the last couple of days.
I did receive a call about that.
I am not shocked at that. So, it's just as inconvenient as any other construction that's one lane, so.
How long do you think a shouldering operation will take?
I would think they'll have everything buttoned up actually by maybe the end of next week. There are some other, you know, I say that as far as the major stuff, but there's, for instance, there's a few rumble strips that still need to be cut in and done. So whenever that subcontractor will pop in, that'll be a day of work kind of a thing. So there's some small stuff. Pavement markings still need to be done. Obviously, those are at the tail end. Because a little bit of that still has to come down to Beaverdale Road. They still have a few pavement markings to put down there. So there's still some what I'd almost kind of straggler work that has to get wrapped up. But the majority of it that most people see as far as the asphalt and the shouldering and the stuff that really causes people headaches for their commute, that really should wrap up by the middle of the latter part of next week. So, anyway, that's coming along. I do know that I didn't send out the notice because Loayza County was going to, but there is a county line project. They're doing a culvert replacement on a road where they're putting some tank cars in and place them in old junk box culverts. So in case you hear something clear up on the county line, it's their section to manage. So we're paying for one of the culverts and they're doing the work. So.
Can I tell them to call the Loayza County Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, I would hand that number out. I bluntly hand that number out all the time. But, I was in Wichita last week for the National Association of County Engineers meeting, and it's the first time I've gone to one, been able to attend one. It was really interesting. Sometimes it's interesting just hearing that it doesn't matter what state you're in, people have similar issues. And there was Michigan, Oregon, Florida, there are not every state's represented, but a lot of states from all different geographic climates, all sorts of stuff. And they have kind of a, they always have kind of sessions that are consistent day by day. And one was about gravel roads, and I spent quite a bit of time in that, and the, you know, frost boils and traffic and how to pay for stuff. It's doesn't matter where you're at. Nobody's got that fully resolved. So I'm almost happy to hear that. And then it was kind of interesting. A lot of the counties that were on in one of the sessions I was in actually had more paved miles than gravel miles. They had very similar mileage, somewhere any of them from, I'd say 500 miles all the way up to 1,000 miles, give or take. I mean, all different sizes, but kind of a common theme that they can't afford their asphalt or their seal coat system. I thought that was interesting. There was a number of counties that said it's not going very well politically, but we're going backwards and returning these back to gravel roads because we don't have the money to keep doing those and doing what else we need to do, and we can take care of them the other way cheaper. And they said it's really hard to go backwards because it's the politicians don't like to take that beating.
Neither do the citizens.
Yeah, it's both sides. So I thought that was interesting because we are a county that has a lot more gravel roads than paved roads, and I've said from the beginning that we probably can't afford what we have as it is. So I think that's a good thing we're still in that area. So
thanks, Ryan. Yep. Janelle, now in Longquist.
Good morning.
County Treasurer.
Good morning. Like everyone else, keeping busy. We're working or preparing to get ready to do the delinquent notices next week. So. Other than that, I do have an agenda item as well.
Two agenda items, I think.
Yeah.
Chris, your local health.
Good morning. We're also keeping busy. Iowa did have the second case, reported case of measles in Northeast Iowa. It was actually a household contact of the first person. So Iowa Department of Public Health, it definitely encourages anyone that hasn't had a measles vaccine to get vaccinated. It is a reportable disease. So anyone who has symptoms and goes to the doctors, we would have a report of, but definitely encouraging everyone to get vaccinated. We do, anyone who, we do the vaccine for children program, anyone under the age of 18 that meets our criteria can come to public health and there's no charge for the vaccination. And we do clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1:30 to 4. Also, we have just ordered some private purchase, so anyone who doesn't meet the criteria for the measles vaccine, the MMR, under the vaccine for children, it's also open for purchase.
When I was a kid, measles, everybody got it, and you didn't think it was anything, but there are apparently some, you can have serious side effects.
Very serious side effects. Actually, a lot of people, you know, as far as, they can have long-term effects from that.
Okay. Thank you. Chris, conservation.
Good morning. We have all of our campgrounds open. We got a Sycamore Loop opened up last week down the Skunk River. We've got a camp host that we're moving in there this week. Had quite a few people up at Big Hollow this last week. It was a gorgeous weekend for camping. Can't complain about that. So that's been nice. A while back I mentioned that we were applying for a planning grant for watershed planning for Big Hollow, and we did receive notice that we got that. And so we will start the long and arduous process of putting together the I think it's a 7 or 9 point plan for the Big Hollow watershed. We're trying to schedule some training to get my staff trained on doing water sampling so that we can start getting some baseline data sampling within the watershed and start collecting that data, getting that so that we can measure results as we get past the planning and then into the implementation phases in the coming years. And so basically I've been describing it as we're doing now, starting the process basically what GEODe has done, only we're doing it before our lake is ruined. We're not going to have to drain the lake down or anything like that. We're trying to be proactive and do this full watershed plan and get some implementation put in place
before we get far enough down the line where we've got irreparable damage, where you've got to do a major overhaul like the tents now. So what they've done, like up in their watershed, that's the process that we're starting here with Big Hollow. So it's a long, drawn out process, and you know, it's multi-years, but getting it started now is a really great thing. We're ahead of the ballgame from what I thought we were going to be getting this put together. So like that's probably the biggest news as of late. Otherwise, just you know, parks are busy. Looking forward to seeing some mushroom hunters out. I did see a thing on Facebook that somebody found some little ones here this last week here in southeast Iowa. So can't believe everything you see on the internet, but somebody shared.
Facebook for sure.
Right? So it's not from the internet. It's got to be true, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's about it.
Thanks, Chris. Jared, land use.
Pretty typical. We've been keeping busy. A lot of new inquiries, people. Subdivision, floodplain, usual. Nothing on the agenda today. We've got a few things that could potentially be a subdivision in the next couple of months, but nothing noteworthy today.
Thank you. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Hey, and don't feel bad for messing up Lisa's name. It was years before I got all the judges to remember my new name, and I've been married for almost 9 years.
Thank you.
In fact, I have one that still does it every once in a while, and then remembers immediately when he says it wrong. We are in the process of interviewing for a felony attorney. We hope to have somebody hired within the next week or so. Probably for a June 1 startup date, which is great news for Todd and I, who have been trying to manage a three-person load with two people. So we're excited. And then we're just getting ready for murder trials. We have one beginning next Tuesday. That's the Wilson murder trial. And then now we have all of the defendants in the Chu murder are here and pending. So those will be getting ramped up as the summer goes along. And then, of course, the Eddie Brewer murder. I believe both of those, or all three of those defendants right now have demanded speedy trial. So we're anticipating an early spring, early summer trial in those matters. Hopefully, that'll be the end of them for a while.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I said thank you, Lisa. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Just keeping busy. We're ramping up with spring, trying to get some other training besides just our monthly training done. We completed a 4-hour chainsaw safety training, and we got a stop the bleed training coming up tomorrow. So just trying to get all the extra spring things up to date and everyone prepared for starting the harder work season.
Did you do that backward? Should you stop the bleeding before you did the chainsaw?
Probably. It might have been a good point. I did have my husband doing some chainsaw work this weekend and thought, oh man, you should have been to that class. I just went inside and didn't watch.
Incidentally, your efforts are bearing fruit. The county just got our workman's compensation dividend for this year. We got $33,105. And so I figured over the last 5 years, we've got a dividend every year ranging from $24,932 to $68,660. But we've received $210,050 of dividends on $889,300 worth of premium. So that's a 24% savings beyond having a lower experience modification rate and the value of having a safe workplace for employees and the county and taxpayers. So
that's awesome. So you guys are going
to keep me. Well, we're going to keep you. And we're also happy with all the employees that are working safely and making an effort.
Absolutely.
To see that their coworkers work safely. I'm very pleased. I think I'm sure the board's very pleased.
I have a great group to work with, so it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Colin Gersh, IT.
Just keeping busy. Nothing really new to report.
Okay. Ken, how are things in the disability services industry?
Real good. Today is Mental Health Advocate Training Day in Des Moines, so both Ted and April are in Des Moines today getting their annual training. And other than that, we've been contracting since February with our different providers in the 8 different counties. But we've had a lot of meetings, but you know, with all these new core services and everything, we're having to have extra meetings to try and figure everything out. So I know figuring out what Great River's gonna do, Great River Health Systems, and they were gonna have a big meeting yesterday with their staff about mental health and what services might change. And so, even though we'd already had that contract meeting, I think we're gonna, there's lots more discussions being had to try and figure out what are we gonna do July 1. And then children's mental health, I think, went on to the governor, and I haven't heard whether that's been signed yet or not, but it sounds like it's putting Regents in charge of children's mental health. So there's just gonna be a lot of changes this next year. And
They haven't put any funding behind that yet either, have they?
Right, we're still waiting.
That's a bad thing, you know. I just can't believe that they're doing this to us.
Yeah, we need the funding in order to do the services. We don't have enough funding for adults as it is, so we can't just take funding from adults and give it to the kids. So
we can discuss that in a little bit.
Okay. So plenty to do.
Good. Doug, how are things at the jail?
We're keeping busy. Population's up to 103 this morning.
Ooh.
Yeah. 28 people are housed outside of our jail, mainly in Lee County, Washington County, and Loisa County. And I don't know where we're going to go from there because everybody else is full too. A lot of jails are in the same situation. Polk County is housing them as far away as Washington County also, and also into Missouri. Shows how the jails are all full. Henry County is in the process of building a new one. They're gonna hold 96.
When's that supposed to be done?
I think they have a year, but I'm not real sure. But other than that, everything's going good, just running around trying to keep track of everything.
Thanks, Doug. Brett, how are everything in the sheriff?
I've been off for the last week and a half, so just trying to ease back into this slowly. So I don't have a lot to report.
So,
but everything's going fine.
When I left town, the criminal population lowered enough that
they normally do. When I leave, they shut it down. So
make phone calls. Somebody's in Florida. Somebody's in Texas. I'm like, oh, I'm here.
Did I miss any? Sheriff Johnstone.
Oh, I'm sure they got it covered. No need to hear from me. I'll let you know I am here today. I'm not in Florida.
No, well, I was talking about somebody else.
Okay. Gotta watch myself all the time. I'm here with my back covered.
Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence? Discussion and vote. We have payroll claims reimbursement of $681.14, non-cash taxable of $30.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. We also need to revise the payroll claims for April 29th and May 12th. I think it might have been some sort of software futility, but apparently the board approved a little more than was paid out. So we're fixing that. So we have the revision of payroll claims for the May 29th or April 20th, or March 29th. Reimbursements are $1,076.36 and non-cash taxable was 60. And the revisions for the April 12th meeting are reimbursements $445.41 and non-cash taxable of $19.69.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. two, assignment of tax sales, both of them involving the same individual and the same assignments we've had a couple times over the last few weeks. We have Byron Gashler, 14876 Washington Lode, Lot 23, West Burlington, would like Des Moines County to assign over their tax sale interest and tax sale certificate 18-0445. The reason for purchase is for investment purposes. He is offering to pay 100% of all delinquent taxes owing and currently payable on this parcel, the amount of $700, as well as the $10 assignment fee, and the same request on tax sale certificate 18-0448. He's offering to pay 100% of all delinquent taxes owing and currently payable on this parcel in the amount of $610, as well as the $10 assignment fee. We've done this previously for this gentleman. It's my understanding he pays the taxes.
He has thus far, yes.
So,
for both of them.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have a 28E agreement concerning public safety emergency communication systems and cost sharing. And hot off the presses, we have, said it here a moment ago, so it's got to be here, we have an opinion from the Des Moines County Attorney, and may I thank her again for taking time out of a really busy schedule to prepare this. So I will just read this into the record. The question was, may the county-funded portion of DESCOM from the county's Rural Services Fund? Yes, the Des Moines County may fund its portion of DESCOM pursuant to the 2080 agreement, in part or in total, from the county's Rural Services Fund. DESCOM is a 911 emergency communication system as established in Iowa Code Chapter 34. It is considered a public safety answering point for both private, volunteer, and public safety agencies throughout the county, both incorporated municipalities and unincorporated areas. Iowa Code Section 34.1-1. While Iowa Code 3031.434 specifically states that emergency management services must be paid out of the general fund, DESCOM is not a part of emergency management systems under Iowa Code Chapter 29C. It should therefore be considered a public safety entity, not an emergency management service. However, note that any expenses to be paid out of the Rural Services Fund must be for expenses solely directed at the unincorporated areas of the county. Iowa Code Section 331.421-8. Therefore, any portion of the DESCOM budget from rural services should be specifically for rural county residents, not for the county at large.
Thanks for getting that done, Letha. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, one needs to keep in mind, the rural services, if it comes out of our general fund, then those city people will get double taxed, because everything that we tax from general fund, it's everybody in the county that has property. But rural services just does unincorporated county.
So with that in mind, we have a 2080 agreement that was I believe it came last week, and the DESCOM board was still working on the final changes to it, so it's been presented for our approval this morning.
And I would move to adopt that. I second that. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution releasing and satisfying economic development loan agreement. Some of you might remember that in February 2016, the county, among other entities, loaned GE some money. They were going to loan $62,000 payable a third over 3 years. So the county's made two payments. Well, as you might be aware, GE was purchased by ABB, and they would like to repay that. So without further ado, I will read the resolution. Whereas the county entered into an economic development loan agreement dated February 9th, 2016 with General Electric Company, wherein the county loaned funds to General Electric Company, which would be repaid by General Electric Company. Whereas in 2018, ABB Limited purchased the Industrial Solutions Division of General Electric Company, including services, goods, properties, and other assets and liabilities, which included assuming the referenced economic development loan agreement. Whereas ABB has expressed a desire to repay the county in full prior to the expiration date for all funds GE and or ABB received pursuant to the agreement and otherwise terminate the terms of the agreement. Whereas the county is in agreement with the receiving of such funds and termination of the remaining terms of the agreement, now therefore be it resolved by the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors of and for Des Moines County, Iowa, that it has been determined that it is in the best interest of the public to accept the funds pursuant to the agreement and to further mutually satisfy and release the agreement as it concerns ABB Limited and General Electric Company and each of their respective parents, subsidiaries, affiliates, agents, employees, and legal representatives. It is be it further resolved that the chairman be authorized and directed to execute a satisfaction and release of economic development loan agreement to effectuate the same. That means I won't sign it until they give us the check. This resolution shall be effective upon its passage and approved as provided by law. You want to read that again?
Not very bad, but I will.
Move to approve.
Or is that? Terry?
Good Mayor.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
As I understood the conversation, that they were not planning on moving out or...
It's my understanding that they have no interest in changing anything. And for the record, what it is, but they... we've made payments totaling $41,333.33, which they will be returning. But it's my understanding that they just bought the place.
They just bought it. No warehouse, and they're still going to operate
the
way it is.
I certainly not privy to corporate decisions, but that is my understanding. And I will sign that release once Des Moines County has the funds. We have personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Bradley Koenig, full-time correctional officer, a 12-month step increase. The previous rate was $37,425.19 a year. The new rate is $38,370.90 a year. And Michael Hayes, full-time correctional officer, a 12-month 12-month step increase. The previous rate was $37,425.19 a year. The new rate is $38,370.90 a year.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Clerk of Courts report of fees collected for March 2019 and the Recorder's report of fees collected for March 2019. These reports will be on file in the Auditor's office and available for public review. April 16th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Abstain. Any other business?
I have none. Have you guys thought about the Congress up there talking about lending? You're spending no more than 2% raise.
I sent them an email with my opinion.
Did you?
Yeah. Both our
that?
Area. I actually would, but I don't have it here.
Well, I didn't think it'd be too bad of an idea. Maybe if they would.
I was opposed to it.
I am too. But if they would go ahead and put that in there, but they have put a clause in there that the state take back all their unfunded mandates. So if they have a mandate, we don't pick it up. And they add it to our, everybody runs for Congress says they're gonna lower property taxes. Nobody does it. So if they would take all back those unfunded mandates back and the state pay for them, if they mandate payment. If they can't afford it, they shouldn't spend it.
Exactly right.
But don't blame us and our tax holders or our property taxes.
It's been that way for years, Bob. Everything's
yes,
come down on the counties.
Yeah, present company. Sorry.
We can talk about that in a minute.
Works for me.
Any other business?
No.
No.
I've got a little other business, but I think I'll save that for committee reports. Future agenda items.
I would just remind you guys of our field tour prior to my board meeting on May 1st, I think it is.
I got the email and I'm 99% sure I put it on my phone.
Okay.
I'm not hurt to send out a reminder. Committee reports.
I attended a DESCOM meeting, and we handled this thing we just passed. I must know about it.
Well, you wasn't here last week, Tom, when I told about our pump truck. Pump went bad on it, you know, for us.
For us?
For us, and... waiting on the cat to get it fixed, or you know, because it's a new pump. Anyway, it's as we speak, it's being fixed. So we had a conference call on that Thursday, so that's all taken care of. Then I had a community action meeting, and it was really interesting. Carol Flaughton from Community Action gave a presentation, and on the various programs they got. And I won't go into all of them here, but the child and adult food program they have is for underprivileged and people, you know, that just don't have the resources, and it's a good program. And they have the parenting with providers. They also have the preschool scholarships, where they spend $73,523 on that, and they're serving 73 children with that. And they got a stepping up to success, and they've got 90 children in that, and they're spending $74,260 on that. And then they have a parents and teachers funded by Des Moines and Henry County, Washington, Early Childhood, serves 25 families, and they spend $61,000 on that. So they're spending a lot of money, and we could use more. We could use a lot more to do a lot of these programs. But it's amazing what community action does, you know, even getting into the weatherization and everything. So if people are struggling, they need to contact community action to see how they can help them out. They really do. And I know Ken probably sends a lot of people over to community action.
They make a lot of referrals, yeah.
Yeah, and it's available for the people as they qualify. So I just would like to see more people get out there and qualify for it. And I had a workforce meeting. I have a workforce meeting last night, and to tell how good this does, we had a presentation, and trying to see the girl's name here now. I won't give your last name, but it was so good, Kelsey. Anyway, she came from Georgia out of a real bad marriage and abusive marriage where she's got beat around a lot, and she brought her two kids back up here because she had relatives up here. She had no place to go, no job or anything, so she did get some help through these resources. But she also went out to Iowa Workforce. They put her through one of her programs out there. She has now got her CNA license. She starts to work the 29th of this month. And this is the first time she's had a job. And she was real grateful for what they've done for her. They got her her GED, which she didn't have. And she just couldn't speak enough for it. Matter of fact, it's nice to see somebody cry when they're so tickled with what they've accomplished. She said, "I don't think I could have accomplished this without, you know, these people helping me." And that was really great. And then to think that we've got this in our local area here, and the state now wants to put it down to 6 regions. So that means these people are going to have to go to Davenport if this happens. So, you know, they sit up there in Des Moines at a desk, not knowing anything about what's going on at county level. It just burns me up.
Yep, they're a lot smarter than we are.
Well, maybe. That's all I got.
I left one out. I had a meeting before I came here for County Fair and Community College Association got together. Because Wagbry is coming down, as you may have heard, and they were talking about how they're going to situate them out there, what they're going to do with them, and anticipating the surge.
Yeah, did you guys get an email from emergency management about the food stands? I know Chris was involved, and I think Ryan got caught on that, so I think Brian's probably not concerned about that unless they decide to set up stands on the right of way.
Are you going out with a road grader and push them off?
There's a number of options. Don't worry. It depends on how good the food is.
They ride a bicycle on these county roads, we're going to bounce off of it anyway.
We'll just park them on a gravel road. That'll take care of the traffic.
How are they doing, geode? Have you thought about that?
They're not coming through geode now. They're going to come, go down and come up Bridgeport Road from the south, and then when they leave, they're going back down Bridgeport Road.
But they're
going
to use geode blacktop.
Well, they're going to come in, 79, Yep, and but they're not going across Geo because Henry County is going to have a bridge project. They're going to have that road closed over towards Lowell.
So I won't be able to leave my house for 2 days.
Well, where are you going to have your food truck?
That's my plan.
Really?
That's right.
I put a sign up, sell your camping spots and tell them that you're saving them about 10 miles of riding.
There you go.
Hey, I've got that whole
both ways, so
yeah,
20 miles.
Flat area, we could camp out
I know
out
some
there.
People out in there that are planning, are planning for them, food stands out in the yard.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I attended by phone the other day the Mental Health Disability Services Commission, and we approved the Northwest Iowa Care Connection Regional Plan amendments, and we discussed some of the more recent mental health and disability services legislation, the children's services and the complex needs. And the week before, I attended Southeast Iowa Link board meetings, advisory and governing board meetings, and before I start, we had a really interesting speaker. This young man's autistic. High functioning anyway, and he makes presentations to law enforcement and different anyway, so to explain to how to deal with autism, and it's different. But he tells the story of the police pull over this young man, and they said, "Can we see your license?" He goes, "No." "Can we see your license?" Finally, when they sorted it out, it was in his pocket. And the way he understood the question is, "Can you see my license?" It's, "No, it's in my pocket."
Oh.
That's how he would, he would look
literally.
At things. Yeah. And I thought that was interesting. Really interesting young man. We also discussed the TAMA Board of Supervisors, or one of the supervisors, is talking about the unfunded mandates, especially is it a is it affected their most recent two mental health bills, the Senate file or House file 2456 last year that mandated that counties need to provide all these complex needs. Not only, you know, didn't provide any funding, they were supposed to have a study group, you know, everybody gets on the study group, and they were supposed to say, what's this going to cost? What's it going to cost counties? How much is it going to cost them? Well, the study group met. They didn't do that. So it's just sort of hanging out there. So we're mandated to do it. Nobody knows what it's going to cost. And the recent child mental health bill, it's a policy bill. It's not an appropriation bill. Well, all these bills go up there and they pass unanimously or almost unanimously. Anyway, so in the 80s, the state legislature passed, and it has never been tested in court apparently. If, after July 1st, 1994, a state mandate is enacted by the General Assembly or otherwise imposed on a county, and the state mandate requires the county to engage in any new activity, to provide any new service, or to provide any service beyond that required by any law enacted prior to July 1st, 1994, and the state does not appropriate monies to fully fund the cost of the state mandate, the county is not required to perform that activity or provide the services, and the county shall not be subject to the imposition of any fines or penalties for the failure to comply with the state mandate unless the legislature specifies the amount or proportion of the cost of the state mandate the state shall pay annually. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but that's pretty clear to me. So anyway, and apparently this hadn't gone to court. Well, the Tama County Board of Supervisors, and this comes from, they had a some local attorneys up there, or some attorneys from Des Moines look at this, and they prepared a brief, and I think they're looking to do something. The Southeast Iowa, the region board of governors, one of the supervisors, is going to be in contact with them and see sort of what they're working on. I think it's time that gets tested in court. Something needs to happen. They've they froze, you know, the if they want to pay it with property taxes, we don't get to make that decision. I mean, they'll make that a mistake. This money should come from property taxes, should come from sales taxes, income taxes, nothing to do. But if they're gonna pay it out of property taxes, they need to say, we want you to raise property taxes to do this. They can't say, you know, not only all the services you're providing now, we also want you to provide all these complex need services. And oh, by the way, we want you to start a children's mental health system. That's a, the resources are not there. However they come up with the resources, passing law isn't our problem, and them deciding if it's where it's gonna get funded out of. But I think that time might have come.
Well, when I get on this board, I think DHS, our housing, the DHS, we were refunded 66% or 67%. And then it went down to 30-some percent, and I think we're back up to 40% now, aren't we, Terry? Do you know?
I don't know for sure. It's not. They're quite.
It's nuts. Yeah, they can do whatever they want, but they expect us to make up the difference.
Well, and they have, and they've changed laws at the federal level, they've changed laws at the state level. But anyway, so I will keep you guys apprised of this. Hopefully in the next couple weeks or so, we should have an answer back from the supervisor from the Seal Board of Governors, where they intend to take this, but I thought I would keep you guys apprised.
Yeah, I like the idea that they're doing something with child mental health. Yeah.
Oh, it's great, but yeah. And not only that, it varies from the regions. You know, per capita funding, it ranges from like $25 per capita to $48 per capita, and that's, or $47.28, I believe, isn't it? Anyway, and that's, so it's consistent across the region, but the regions vary that much. Well, some of those, you know, the regions, if you cut $25, if you've got trouble at $40, you're gonna have huge troubles at $25. And there's different, if you go to a rural county like this, your transportation costs are entirely different than they are in Des Moines, where Broadlands is, you know, is just downtown. You know, if you get in a, if you're in Van Buren County, there's nothing close. Access
Broadlands
just isn't
is
there.
Helping to fund Polk County.
What?
Broadlands is helping to fund Polk County, giving them
some
extra money. So
their population went up so much. Of course, the amount they could tax for mental health services, you know, when you add 200,000 people, it's not cutting it. So Broadlands made the mistake of giving some money to the Polk County Mental Health and Disability Services. So the legislature says Broadlands has got pretty money, and so they just wrote it into the law. Broadlands is going to pretty. Anyway, so regardless. Anyway, so I just thought I'd tell you guys, have both mentioned unfunded mandates, and apparently that's never been tested in court, so maybe it's time.
I hope so.
So I will keep you apprised. That's all I have.
Ken, how do you sleep at night with all that's going on with this mental health? And this isn't just recently. This goes back years.
Yeah. I mean, even the change of United Healthcare leaving, and they took over all the case management, and so people had to switch to United Case Management, and they had the majority of people that I work with, and now they have to switch case managers again, and as soon as this new one comes in town, and it's just, it's very disrupting to people's lives.
Yes,
so
very, very disruptive.
I have a lot of people come in my office and just very confused, and you just try and take the time to talk through. And then, you know, the state sent out letters to everybody on managed care changing, but they didn't, they sent the letters before United announced that they were leaving Iowa. And so those letters are all wrong. So people are even more confused. And the new letters haven't come out to explain the changes that United's leaving. So it's a constant, there's constant change going on, and it's very confusing to the people that we serve.
How many thousands of lines are there of a service codes for Medicaid?
I have no idea.
Lots.
But there's a lot, yes. And that's the other thing. When we were a county system before regions, and when we had case management, we had we could see the ISIS system, the statewide ISIS system, where all of people's Medicaid services were in that system. Well, after counties were no longer doing case management, we were taking that ability to see the statewide Medicaid services was taken away from all counties. So now we can only see what we fund regionally. We can't see the big picture of people's lives of what they're getting from Medicaid and what they're getting from the region. So we're kind of at a disadvantage now compared to what we used to be, you know, for helping people. We have to tell them, go back and talk with your
services manager. Just get farther and farther away from those people, because those people aren't the customer. The customer is the state. As long as whoever's paying is the customer, and the state paying you, or the feds paying you, that's the customer. They make the rules, and they said, this is what we'll pay for, this is what we won't pay for.
So we do the best we can, but sometimes our hands are tied behind our back.
I think every one of these people make these laws ought to come down and have to work a week with you just to see her throughout the state, you know, and see what really goes on, because they have no idea.
Yeah. There's a lot of neat things that we're doing, you know, with the new crisis services and things like that. It's just when you look at the big picture of all services for people with disabilities, it's still pretty, I don't know, there's just still a lot of pieces to it and hard to navigate.
Thanks, Ken. Public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board?
Standing up here every time, Tom. Okay. But, Bob Beck talked about 2% that the state's talking about imposing on 2% cap on counties.
Okay.
And they're talking about that. If it doesn't pass this year, it probably won't pass next year, but it'll pass a year after. Jim talks about disadvantaged kids and disadvantaged families. And these folks talk about mental health and all these issues. I just have to remind you all, elections have consequences. And we're facing the consequences of the last three or four elections. That's what's going on. Believe me, I'm there. I was there and I saw it. Elections do have consequences. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else? Okay, before we adjourn, we have we've all three people here. We have three work sessions, and to make these closed sessions, those employees, personnel evaluations, those employees have to request a closed session. So rather than do it individually, if you guys don't mind, I will just go through here. Ken, do you want to?
Yes, I would like a closed session.
Colin?
Yes, I'd like a closed session.
Brian?
Yes, I like closed sessions.
Okay, thank you. I'll get that done. Open session. So with an aye, we're adjourned.
All right.